Before we start, Romans chapter 4 and 5, we're going through the book of Romans. This will lead us into Easter. It's very intense and hard, and every week is a challenge to explain in the most loving, but with honesty, because it's the Word of God, so that we grow together. And today, it's not any better. All right, so as we continue the book of Romans, I hope you continue to grow and dig deep with me. And when you go home, read it over. Read chapter 4 and 5. You missed the last sermons. Listen to it online as well. All right, some of you guys might know this song. And if you do know this song, sing along. Father Abraham. All right. The Abraham, I am one. So are you. So let just praise the Lord. Oh, you know this song. Oh, here we go. Father Abraham. Come on. Sons. The Abraham. I'm one of them. Are you? So let just praise the Lord. And it goes like right hand, left hand, and right foot, and left foot. And Carol's still rocking because it reminds her of Sunday school. Father Abraham. You know, so this Father Abraham song. You know, growing up. And you know what I love about the Bible is the fact that it is not written by one person. It consists of 40 different authors written down 40 or 66 different books that compile into this one thing we call the Bible. And what's more unique about the Bible is that no other gods were ever added since Father Abraham. And before that, there was no other inspirational quotes added in there to please humanity. No other spiritual practices introduced to make people feel good about themselves, or no teaming up with other religions to coexist. That's what I love about the scripture. Yeah, that's great, Pastor New, but what about other religions? There's so many out there. How are we so sure and know that this is the true one? And it's a valid question. Isn't it better to cover our bases? Just to be safe? Isn't it better to dabble into everything that exists out there just in case? Just in case, to be on the safe side. Well, here are the history of world religion. Our tech, it's like all off today. That's weird, right? But, okay, it's supposed to be three columns, but you get two and overlap each other. So I'll explain it to you. Judaism or Hinduism is before that, 2000 BC. And then Judaism, 2000 BC. Buddhism. Liz and I had a marital counseling session with somebody last night at our house at like 8, 9 o'clock at night. And you know, one of the subjects we spoke about was intimacy, right? So I'm still on my mind, Buddhism. You see what I'm saying? See what happens to you when you counsel these people all the time? That's what you think about. Buddhism, 500 BC, Confucianism, I'll just read it from my note here. Confucianism, 500 BC, Taoism, 550, Christianity, 100 BC, Christianity, 100 CE, which is Common Era, and Islam is 622 CE. So Islam just came about not too long ago, which is the most recent. Oh, there it is. Okay. So Northern India, Middle East, Northern. So do you kind of see where those religions are originated? From. So, you know, when you think about what's happening here, you look at Judaism and Hinduism roughly about the same time. Right? And the reason is roughly at the same time because, I'm going to explain that later. However, according to history.com, this is their quote, that Judaism is the world's oldest monotheistic religion. I bring up this because Christianity is not a spiritual journey to make you feel spiritual, to make us feel good about ourselves, or to participate in this thing where people get together. But Christianity birthed out of Judaism by the promise of God for humanity and how he's going to redeem the world. And Judaism, it is the oldest monotheistic religion. And I'll explain to you Hinduism in a little bit how it plays into all this. But Christianity is the call to be a people of the one true God. Christianity, it's not a spiritual journey. Christianity, it's not a social club. Christianity, it's not, something that makes me feel good and my families feel good, so I go. Christianity is a call from God through his redemptive plan, his ordained plan to announce to us that we belong to come back to worship the one true God. And Paul has to explain this to the Roman streets. Romans chapter 4, verse 16 is on the screen if you need it. Therefore, the promise comes by faith so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Not only those who are of the law, but also those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of all of us, us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, so he is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not, against our hope. Abraham, in hope, believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it is written, just as has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us. To him God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for justification. Your attention, please. Reading that, it's kind of like having an interpreter. You know, like last night I picked up Valentine and the airport 10 something that night. The plane was delayed and he didn't know, obviously, because he was on the plane and I was sitting there waiting. When I got in the airport, picked him up, immediately the first thing I asked him is he's hungry. He needed something to eat, but he's telling me what he wanted to eat. I think he says yogurt and I got him a cookie. You're having cookie for dinner. That's what, you know, reading this, you get this idea. Like, what is God talking about? Do I need an interpreter? Can you explain this? Same thing on the street of Rome. When Paul tries to explain this to a group of people, Christ, in short, it's God's promise to the world. And people think that Judaism started in 2000 BCE simply because that's when they march into the promised land with the Ten Commandments and say God created all things and we belong to God. And that's when how people kind of identify when Judaism was started. But before that, they were in Egypt. And before that, it was rooted in Abraham. And before that, the Tower of Babel. And before that, the flood. And before that, Cain and Abel. And before that, there was the garden with Adam and Eve. And before that, God created the heavens and the earth. This is where the conclusion of Judaism, it is the oldest monotheistic religion in the world, because it wasn't just from the time of Moses, but it's way before that. God's calling on all of us, and he warns us, and he says, I am your God. Don't have any other gods before me. So when the Apostle Paul took this message to the street of Rome, it was really confusing and challenging to understand that all of a sudden, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the one true God. And when you're talking about the street of Rome was heavily influenced by demigods, where humans are half gods and half human. Influenced by Greek mythology and Greek gods, practices of emperor worship where Julius Caesar claims to be God himself. They worship other things and man-made images and moons and stars outside of the demigods. And to add to the complexity of the situation, we have Judaism, who claims that Christianity is a new religion, but it's actually not a new religion at all, because they've taken Yahweh, which is the God of Judaism, and say this is the Messiah. So the Jewish people had a problem with that. But since the creation of the world, God has promised through Abraham that you will be the father of all nations. That you, through you, I'm going to redeem the world. Through your lineage, through what you're going to do, the world will be saved. And if they believe in you and then now in Jesus, and this is really complex and really hard for Paul to explain to the people on the street of Rome, all of a sudden he comes and he says, I am the one true God. So Paul has to go back. He had to trace the human race all the way back to Abraham. And God's promise to Abraham was it's through faith that people are going to be saved. Not by works. Through faith, Abraham. Through faith of your faith. What is that faith? The faith in the one true God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Yahweh. The God that created the heavens and the earth. And there's no other way. Not by works, not by coexisting, not by dabbling through every spiritual path that's put in front of you. Only by faith through the one true God. Imagine taking that message to the street of Rome, where you're surrounded with temple worship. You're surrounded with demigods. You're surrounded with Zeus. You're surrounded with sun, moons, and stars. You're surrounded with everything goes for a safety net. So he says this, that is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not, against all hope. Abraham, in hope, believed and so became the father of many nations, just as has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. He explained this to people. You have roots. You have identity. You know where you came from. The human race is not a mystery or a science experiment. Not by Zeus, not by demigod. You were not cursed by the heavens and you come down and now you can be half God and half human. This is what Paul was dealing with on the street of Rome. So he had to trace it all back. That the human race is not a mystery or science experiment. We live in different parts of the world. We speak different languages. And we might look a little different and our skin tone might have different shades. But here's the best part. We are connected by the same genetic sequence. So I had to do some research. According to Chris Dizell, I presume that's how you pronounce his last name, an evolution scientist, this is what he says. Research shows that 99.9% of the genetic information in DNA is common to all human beings. 99.9%. The 0.01% is responsible for differences in hair, eye, and skin color and height. Scientists believe that the human life evolved from a common ancestor. So, their conclusion, since we don't want to admit that there is a God, we'll say we come from monkeys instead. But yet you have found the solution that 99.9% of humans share a common genetic structure. But your conclusion is not follow Abraham or God. But your conclusion is we come from monkey. Well, but how do you explain the evolution theory if the furthest from the next closest thing that is not human actually have a 30% difference in genetic coding? That doesn't make any sense. So Paul has to take this message to the street of Rome. He says, no. We're all connected. Father Abraham has many sons. He has many sons. Oh, Father Abraham, and you and I are both. He didn't sing that song, but you get the idea. He had to trace the human race, saying, "No, we're all the same. We came from the same lineage, which is through Abraham, who created by God, who God caused him to be the father of all nations. And because we fall away from God, and His plan for us is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So once again, God is announcing to humanity." I am your one true God. Not Zeus, not Athena, not Taoism, not Buddhism. Genesis chapter 3, the Lord said to Cain, "Where's your brother, Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" Man, I struggle with this week. God, how do I explain this? How do I go into this? How do I make this to make sense in this generation? Way before humanity can identify religion, man already decided that God was not the only one true God. Not because he wasn't, just because of rebellion. So Cain went and killed Abel, which is a whole different sermon itself, and God asked Cain, he says, "Cain, where's your brother?" And Abel says, I don't know, am I my brother's keeper? There's some deep sociological behind those statements from Cain to illustrate the human race, where even though after we sinned after Adam and Eve and we were banned from the garden, God was still speaking with humanity face to face. But at this moment, Cain killed Abel. He denied the fact and undermining the very idea that God is all-knowing and all-powerful, and that he created everything, and he cared about his creations very much. So God asked Cain a very simple question. "Cain, where is your brother?" And what did Cain respond? Cain responded with, "I don't care. Am I my brother's keeper? God, I don't care about your creation. I don't care that you know all things. I don't care that you created everything. And I certainly don't care about Abel. Your children." So right away, before man can label religions, Satan already at work and convince Eve and then convince everybody, and after that, that God is not the one true God. And he convinced us that we don't matter to God anymore. So if we don't matter to God, then go find other things to worship. Go work for it. Earn your way. And every generation keep falling further and further and further away from God. Bring back that chart of this here. So you notice that Hinduism and Judaism are roughly labeled at the same time of birth, Northern India and Middle East. And it makes perfect sense why God told the nation of Israel, when you get into the land of Canaan, don't worship other gods. Because there were so many gods by then that human had created. And then you look at the research of Hinduism, this is what Wikipedia said. "Hinduism is a diverse system of thought marked by a range of philosophies and shared concepts, rituals, cosmological systems, pilgrimage sites, and share textual sources that discuss theology, mythology, yoga, agamic rituals, temple buildings, among other topics." Hinduism is probably the perfect example to illustrate how the children of God have moving further and further and further away from God by creating all these philosophies, all these gods, and their own personal experience, and they create their own groups and philosophy. And God, this could be God because we don't want to believe in that one true God. And throughout history, even other religions copy the Bible and leave out what they don't like and kept what they like and start a whole new religion in itself. Islam. Islam didn't start until 600 years after Christianity. The work of Satan since the Garden of Eden is to confuse us of our roots and slowly replace the one true God with other gods. Taoism, Buddhism, philosophies, Islam. And I have one word for this. You sum it all up. Confucianism. You're just confused. And I say that with the most loving way. It's become confusing. And it makes perfect sense because that's how Jesus describes Satan. In John chapter 8, verse 44, you don't have to turn there, just follow along today. Jesus described Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. Satan is the birth of lies. His goal is to steer us away from the one true God by any means necessary. This is why it was so hard for Paul. That's why Paul was killed. Shortly after his missionary years, he described it in the book of Acts. So this is why Paul said, this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. To who? To Abraham. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but for us, to whom God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Paul is not walking on the street, he wrote a letter to Rome, making this announcement, the same announcement that Moses took into the promise, or Joshua took into the promised land, the same announcement God throughout the Old Testament, screaming on the top of his lungs to his people, to his nation, to everybody, I am your one true God. And here once again, Paul, it's announcing to those who are believing in all kinds of faith, mosh posh of things in Greek mythology, in Roman worship, in temple worship, in stars and moon worship. And he says, no. We're from the same God, Father Abraham, the seed of Abraham, that we have a God, we have an identity, we were birthed from that. And because we've fallen away, far away from God, God credited to Abraham as righteousness as long as we believe in the faith of Abraham. What was the faith of Abraham? The God of Yahweh. There's only one God. And the Jewish people held on to this promise their entire lives. They waited. And Father Abraham began to have nations and nations and nations. And those nations become Asia and India and Russia and different parts of the world. God foreknew that the world was going to be split into different nations. How did he know that? Because he's God. And the Jewish people held on to this promise. And comes the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, the Savior of all nations. And he went on to explain this in chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have gained access by faith into his grace in which now stand. And we boast in the hope of glory, of the glory of God. Skip down to verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for the righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more have been reconciled since we saved through his life? Not only is this so, but also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Your attention, please. Jesus erased the lies of Satan. You sinned too many times. God can't possibly love or forgive you. Try this instead. Try this crystal. Test this religion out. Go meditate on this. Try this substance or this relationship instead. Start meditating. Start doing yoga. You better work and earn your way, because there's no possible way God can love you. And this idea of work for our salvation, it resonates with a lot of people, right? Especially male. Because we like to work. We like to work with our hands, and we like performance. So this idea of work resonated with a lot of people. And it's a perfect scenario for Satan to go and say, hey, you need to work for to be saved. Because once we get the concept of work to be saved, then we can start comparing ourselves to our neighbors. Look at that guy. I can't be that bad. Look what I'm doing. I'm a little bit better than that guy or her or him. That means I'm more saved than that guy. It's the idea of work. So Paul wrote, you see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus' message was different. And people had a problem with it. Very rarely will anyone die for the unrighteous. Though for a good person, someone might dare to die for. But God demonstrate his own love for us, that in this, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. See, throughout history, man never denied the fact about Jesus' existence or he walked the face of the earth. There are more manuscripts about Jesus than any other historians in the world that ever lived. There are more talks about Jesus than any other gods. There are more research and documentaries and arguments and the study and criticism about Jesus Christ than any other religion in the world. You can mention any religion in schools or on social media and you're fine, but the moment you mention Christianity, you get criticized for it. Why is that? Because if Satan can work and keep convincing us that it's not the one true God, he wins. And what I love about the idea of the continual argument about Jesus, it's the very fact that it bothers people and it exists. And sometimes I have a hard time convincing people that they are saved by the death of Jesus Christ than the existence of Jesus Christ. See, people doesn't deny the fact that Jesus existed. People have a hard time accepting that they're actually saved. While they're still sinners, they have a hard time accepting that, and they have a hard time accepting that on the street of Rome. Yes, you can be truly forgiven and truly loved by the one true God through faith in the one true Savior, Jesus Christ. In our men's Bible study this week, something came across. It was profound to me, and it's so simple. And Mark Moore says this, perhaps our response to this biblical truth should be submission more than critique. It's so simple. Perhaps our response to this biblical truth should be submission more than critique. When we hear the news that is so good to be true, it's too good to be true. So let's look into it. Oh, did he really exist? Can I really be saved? Am I really forgiven? Is it really the one true God? Is this really happening? Did he really die while I'm still in my imperfect state? Did Christ die for me? You know, when Jesus showed up to the scene in John the Baptist, he announced the coming of Jesus. You guys might remember this in John chapter 1. He says, behold, look, the Lamb of God, the Savior, who takes away the sins of what? The sins of the world. When Jesus showed up on the scene, John the Baptist didn't say, oh, look, Jesus, the Savior of the Arab people. He didn't say that. Oh, look, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the Jews. He didn't say that. He didn't say, oh, look, Jesus, who takes the sins of black people or Asian people or white people, whatever it is. You get the point. He said, look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of, come on, church, the world. Christianity is the call to be a people of the one true God through Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And understand this is coming from a place of love and truthfulness. This is coming from a space of that I'm speaking the truth in the Word of God, and I'm just sharing with you God's absolute truth. And it's coming from the right place, what I'm about to tell you. If you're a Christian or claim to be a Christian, maybe you don't need another revival or an inspirational service to keep you going. But a deep look into our souls to determine that if we are simply a culture Christian, just because our parents are one, or just kind of, oh, I guess I'll be a Christian. I guess I need to do something. I need to choose something. Where you believe in God and Jesus, but you kind of dabble with other things too, crystals and moon, stars. Philosophies, false gods. Maybe you don't need another inspirational, loud service with smokes and inspirational quotes. But repent. Refocus. And worship the one true God. The God of Abraham. The God of Isaac. The God of Jacob. The Yahweh that created all of us, that we can trace back to, that the human race shares the same genetic structure. And if you are not a Christian, but you're here because maybe being spiritual resonate with you, I might lose you today and I might never see you again. But at least I want to say this so that you heard it and you have no excuse. Being spiritual does not save you or make you more noble or more inclusive. And I say that with love and coming from a good place. Being spiritual doesn't make you better than everybody else because you're simply spiritual, and it doesn't save you either. God doesn't care about spiritual person. God cares about a person that placed their faith in Jesus Christ, his son. And what I love about the scripture, but I hate it at the same time. But maybe my will is to submit to it, not to critique it or deny it. I hate it, but I love it. I love it because it saves me in my most agonizing state of life, where I'm a sinner, waiting to be redeemed when Jesus comes back. But I hated the fact that it's not inclusive, that it's not spiritual. So therefore, the scripture is right and I'm wrong. So I need to turn my life around and submit to this. The Bible doesn't waver on the roots of humanity. You were created by a God. Male and female, He created you. You were not created to pick or to be confused of your gender or your roots. The God who loves His creation and redeem it through the blood of Jesus, and that has not been wavered before Hinduism. Being a Christian is not a spiritual journey. Being a Christian is God calling you to be His children, to be a people of God. There's more distraction today on cell phone ringing than ever in any other service. Why is that? I'm not yelling at you. I just want, you know, it's coming from a good place. There's more microphones. Nothing works. Get behind me, Satan. Stop accepting and living in the lies of Satan. He's certainly convinced most of the world that there's no God. Caesar is fine. A stone is fine. That would do. A crystal. Put in your house. Be good enough. Go to yoga. Meditate. Sunrise, beach, meditation. That would do. And God in His word has never been wavered. He says, I am your God. You can truly be saved. And I truly love you. In your worst, you can be forgiven. Because I am your Father. From the beginning, I created you in my image. I knit you in your mother's womb. Let's stand as we read God's word together. As the band come forward. It is easier for me to prove to you that Jesus existed and He rose from the dead than to convince you that you can really be saved through the forgiveness of sins, through the Savior, Jesus Christ. So in the words of Paul, to the street of Rome, to Caesar, to the demigods, to the temple worship, to the moons, the stars, everything in between. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have gained access by faith into His grace, into which we now stand. And we boast in hope of the glory of God. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. For you, for me. For the kid that's confused about his own sexuality or while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for the Ukrainians. He died for the Russians. That Jesus, the Savior of the world. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him, to the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only this is so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through him, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen. God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your love and your grace. May your words change our hearts. Those who are watching online, those here in person. That they heard the words. God, help us to repent. And worship the one true God. That's you. That you send your son, Jesus Christ. That while we were powerless, you died for us. Maybe we need to receive that with submission and not critique. God, we thank you. Forgive us where we fall short. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.